The following program is brought to you by the Humble Farmer Bed and Breakfast in St. George, Maine. Thank you for listening. Young people today don't know about moderation. Back when I was a kid, we had neighbors who were moderate. One day, Alva Harris was lying on his back underneath a car in his garage down there in Tents Harbor, when he saw some boots walking around the car. Of course, Alba recognized the boots, so he hollers out, "Is that you, George?" And George says, "Yes, you awful busy today, Alva." And Alva says, "What you need?" And George says, "My house is on fire."
Hi there, this is Clark Terry here, reminding you to pull your bearskins a little closer to the fire. That's it. Now you're talking. Hey, watch out for those snapping sparks. Everybody cozy? Now the good news is that you're in time for the humble farmer. You've worked hard all day, and you deserve to relax now. So stay right there and listen to the best of this kind of music.
I can't believe right about on the last four bars there, I hear a change that doesn't sound right to me. And it might be that I played that wrong for years and years, but I've played that dozens and dozens and dozens of times, because when I was playing for dances at the Blue Goose, that was one of the last tunes we played every night. And they weren't playing those changes. Anyway, we'll let it go. Even Harry Allen was going along with it. I have, well, thank you for listening to The Humble Farmer. I'm whining and sniveling already, as usual. I have solar radiant heat in the floor of my cellar, which is my office and studio. I can't understand how people can pour a concrete floor nowadays for a hen house or a garage or a gazebo or a cellar and not at least put the orange PEX pipes in so they can someday heat their place with the free rays from the sun. You don't have to hook it up. No, you don't have to hook it up this week or this year, but you should have the insulation down and you should have those pipes in there. Because there will come a day when your eyes will be opened and you'll see that all of your neighbors heat their floors and the spaces above them with the free rays from the sun. And you'll wonder why nobody told you that you could do it too. Can you tell me what my neighbors have against getting free heat from the sun in their floor? I remember the first time I felt radiant heat in a shower floor. It was also in the little stone patio floor, and it was in the home of a rich woman from away who had a house here in town. I went down to see it. She had water heaters on her roof, and she told me that there were little pipes in the floor, and that these little pipes were continually flushed out by warm liquid. It was pumped through from the hot water heaters on her roof. I thought this was magic. It was great. I didn't understand it, but I wanted it. I didn't realize how simple it was. And that was probably only 6-7 years ago. And now, of course, I know it's so cheap and so simple to install. It is so cheap and simple to install that if I were only 20 years younger, I'd put it in my garage. I'd put another floor right down on top of what I already have and put it in there. I'd even have it in my driveway. I encourage my friends to do this, but it's like getting people who've always ridden in a horse-drawn buggy to set foot in an automobile. I'm thehumblefarmer@gmail.com. Are you getting free heat from the sun in your home? Thank you. Harry Allen and Joe Cohn, two of my favorite people to hear playing together. They play so well together. I think there was an old Al Cohn tune called Mr. George. Not that it makes any difference. Thank you for listening to The Humble Farmer here on your favorite radio station, where, with any luck at all, you can hear me playing old-fashioned music just for you. Did I say every week at this time? Thank you for listening. I'm thehumblefarmer @gmail.com, because I'd love to hear from you. And here is a note that Winky's mother sent to school with Winky one day in 1943. "Please excuse my son for being absent yesterday. He had diarrhea and his boots leak."
It doesn't matter if life is getting us down. The world's on a platter when we take on the town. Don't need my best pressed. Don't need no worm in her gown. Still the best dressed when we take on the town. No one here can top us dancing down the street. Oh, even with our six left feet.
Ow! Hey, look out. Watch it.
If there's no brass ring,
no reason for us to frown. Still our hearts sing when we take on the town.
Like Fred Astaire.
Oh, very good.
You take your millions, yeah.
Don't need no fame or renown. We got zillions when we take on the town. When we take on the town.
All kinds of people on there. You don't want to know who it was. I see Harry Allen's in there. Never heard that song before. And here is the silliest email I've ever seen. It says that someone invented a breast implant that can store and play music. This implant is considered a major social breakthrough because, as you well know, women have always complained that men stare at their breasts and do not listen to them. You don't have to think about this too long before you realize that this is true. Women do not want men staring at their breasts, which is why women wear low-cut dresses and suspend on a gold chain about 8 inches below the chin a shiny piece of metal. This flashy piece of metal is designed to divert and hold the eye's attention. Every year, loving husbands give their aging wives one or two more gold links for the chain.
Heard a birdie sing, so sweet, so sweet. The moment I fell for you, I saw stars. I heard an angel say, wake up, wake up. Your wonderful dreams come true. A newborn feeling had me reeling. I said to myself, where am I? It's all so hazy, may sound crazy. There wasn't a star in the sky. Still I saw stars. I heard a birdie sing, so sweet, so sweet, the moment I fell for you.
Django here on The Humble Farmer, and here is a quote by Picasso. Here is a quote by Picasso that I found while looking for something else. When Picasso visited an exhibition of children's drawings, he said, "When I was their age, I could draw like Raphael, but it took me a lifetime to learn to draw like them."
Thank you.
And I guess that's the end of that right there. Harry Allen and a few others here on The Humble Farmer. Where, with any luck at all, you can hear me playing old-fashioned music just for you every week at this time, right here on your favorite station. Thank you for listening. I am thehumblefarmer@gmail.com, because I'd love to hear from you. What are you doing right this minute? In reply to a post about the high cost of pills in America when compared to other countries, one of my Facebook friends wrote, "We give Tramadol to our 12-year-old Saint Bernard. A month's supply costs us $14 at the vet. One time they were out of the pills, and they had us pick up the pills at our pharmacy. The exact same pill with the exact same number cost us $34. Well, I have but this to say to anyone who can afford to keep a pet that one cannot eat. The cost of maintaining such an animal would seem to be inconsequential, wouldn't you say? I speak as a man who could never afford to have children or pets that I could not eat when they got big and fat. Although over the past 45 years I've had many pets that I've raised and loved and eaten, my last house pet, I want you to hear this, my last house pet was a rat named Vilkas, which, as you know, means wolf in Lithuanian. Vilkas the Wonder Rat was given to me in 1969 for a course in psycholinguistics I was taking at the University of Rochester. I bemoaned the passing of Vilkas, and I did not eat Vilkas. At the time of his passing, I was training him to drive a small battery-powered car. Anyway, I have this to say. If you can afford to keep a pet that you cannot eat, the cost of keeping, I said this before, the cost of keeping such an animal in pills would seem to be inconsequential. Please remember that dogs are Mother Nature's way of punishing people who have too much money. Thank you. Ghana here on the Humble Farm. I wonder if they had retuned the piano at intermission when Ghana was playing it. Here is a curious quote by movie actor George Raft. It says that George Raft earned and spent about $10 million in the course of his career. George Raft said, "Part of the loot went for gambling, part for horses, and part for women. The rest I spent foolishly."
Thank you.
Was remarkable, wasn't it? Did you notice? Am I correct in saying that Harry Allen was playing like playing the same kind of riffs he would hear on the violin from the guy there with him, and he was just imitating him there? That was pretty impressive. I don't think I've ever heard that cut before. I'm gonna have to listen to that over and over and over, find out what was going on there. If you know what was happening, I'm the humble farmer. @gmail.com with any luck at all. I'm here every week at this time playing old-fashioned music just for you. Love to hear from you. My friend Peg says, I can't speak for others, but I rarely visit your Facebook page. This is good. Glad to hear it. As it is once again a manifestation of Peg's erudition and wisdom. So many people would be so much better off if they too rarely visited my Facebook page. Listen to this. Too often, one is likely to read on my Facebook page something that one would rather not think about.
Thank you. Come on and let us bring joy in the new days. Bing out all the blue days. Sing just like a bird in spring. And let the echo ring way up to heaven. Song is king, this life is cold. Unless we have that certain spark, it's all controlled by music. So from morn till dark, be a lark and just sing. And you can have your fling, accomplish anything, if you would only sing.
Ted Weems, 1930. Thank you for listening to The Humble Farmer. I said that I wouldn't have a pet I couldn't eat. A friend wrote this reply. Please, please listen carefully. The house next door to mine was broken into. The dogs woke me up around 1 a.m. with their barking that night. They didn't settle back down for half an hour. I looked outside but did not see anything out of place. The next morning I noticed the neighbor's door lock was smashed. I find that having 200-plus-pound dogs in the house a far more effective crime deterrent than as a nutritional snack. Referring, of course, to my comment about eating my pets, because I don't eat dogs, I have cows and pigs. My friend continues on to say that he would rather pay for food and medicine for dogs than have robbers invade his house. Does this not bring up an interesting question? Think about this. Over a 30-year period, which do you think would cost more and destroy more? The expense and damage entailed in keeping two big guard dogs in your house, or the expense and damage entailed in a 15-minute robbery. Now, before you snap back at me with an answer, you might want to live with 200 pounds of dogs for 30 years. And please remember that with the robbery, you would get 30 years of suffering over with in one day. And shouldn't that be worth something right there? shucks, I had this nice rant I was going to deliver, and I say I've only got a minute and a half, and I can't possibly do it in a minute and a half. So I'm just going to say thank you so much for listening. With any luck at all, I'll be here next week at this time playing old-fashioned music just for you. I am thehumblefarmer@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for listening.